Okay.
The voice recording is on.
Hi, everyone. Welcome today to the Neshei Chabad Women's event. We are so lucky to have Toby Lita with us. Toby is a renowned shaklin and dating coach, and Toby is going to be sharing with us some tips on how to navigate this crazy shaklin world that exists today. So, Toby, welcome.
Thank you, Chavis.
Can you share with us, you know, everything in this world that happens, it comes from Hashem. So, you know, where's Hashem's hand when it comes to Shidduchim specifically?
Oh my gosh. Hashem is my partner. Can you imagine having a boss? It's not a person, but it's Hashem. He's my boss. And all the ideas that ever come through my mind, it's like, thank you, Hashem, that's a good one. Hashem is sending it to me. He's using me as a messenger. Can you imagine that I'm working for him directly? I have no boss other than Hashem, and he gives me the ideas. For example, Hashem is needing these two people to get together, and he says, okay, who's at the computer? Who's doing the work? Let's see. Oh, Toby's doing it. Let me give her an idea. And all of a sudden, the idea comes in and I start presenting it. So everything really boils down to me seeing. I've never in my entire life, I just turned 68. For 60 whatever years, I haven't seen Hashem in my life as much as now when I'm doing Shidduchim, because he plays such an active role in making it happen. So it's the closest you can get to Hashem, working for him. So I see it in so many different ways. I'm going to tell you a few examples, okay? I walked into someone's house once, and I was never in a house before. I had just moved to Melbourne, and I see a young girl. You know how someone that sells chandeliers, they suddenly see chandeliers in everybody else's houses? Or you're looking for a car, and all of a sudden you see that car pop up all over. So whatever you're, I'm a shaklin, so I always say, who's that, who's that, who's that? All the singles, I find the singles and I ask who they are. So I see this single girl, about 18 years old, standing right there, and I go to the lady of the house. I've never been there before, I've never seen the girl before. I say, who is she? And she said, oh, she's my daughter, she just came back from seminary. And I say, wow. And within a second, like literally a second, I don't think more than a second, as I'm just like scanning her, I go, I don't even know her name, I don't know anything about her, she could be anything. I go, I've got somebody for her. And that's Hashem putting it in my head, literally. Like, how should I have somebody for her? I didn't speak to her, I didn't interview her, nothing. And she goes, who? And I give her the name of my nephew in Sydney. This was in Melbourne. And she goes, okay, maybe. And then I called my sister and go, you know, I got somebody for your shmuli. And she goes, who? And I give her the name. It was the Varachel's daughter. And I knew nothing. I didn't even know her voice. I didn't even know her name. And they're happily married today. I'm telling you that Hashem is pulling all the strings of Shidduchim, like right, left, and center, when you're open to him. And every person, every single person has the ability to have that connection with Hashem to actually be a shadchan. Every one of us can be. I'm just an ordinary person. I just took it on. That became my life. I work on it 24/7. So do I see Hashem in Shidduchim? 1,000%. I can give you another one. Each one of my kids are like a Hashem story, but I'll give you one more. One of my daughters, she wanted to get married. She said, it's time, man. I said, sure, no problem, let's go. You ready? And I get a profile from a shaklin, a guy called Mendel. So on the resume, it says, he works in Lubavitchy Yeshiva on Crown Street. I go, oh, great, my nephew, he's the principal there. I'm gonna call him. He'll know all about the boy. I call him, his name's Yankee. I say, Yankee, what do you know about this Mendel? He says, why would you start up with this Mendel? I know him, he's a teacher, but have I got somebody? I said, but you don't even know who it's for. Like, you never met my daughter in your life. Like, he doesn't know who my daughter is. And he says, but I'm telling you, forget Mendel. I'm gonna send you a profile. There's an amazing bacher that teaches for me. He's all around her. Da, da, da. I said, I'm not looking for another one. I just want information on this one. I never heard of that one. Anyway, he convinced me to ignore this one, look at this one. I take the profile, make the phone calls, and she's happily married to him now.
Let me guess, is his name Menachem?
No.
So Mendel, and now we've got Menachem.
Oh, no.
I'm joking.
That's Levi.
Levi.
My daughter's
name. I was joking.
That was her story. I can go through 100 stories where Hashem just makes it happen. So all of us could decide to be a shatran. Really, there's no tricks. All we have to do is be in tune and be interested and be wanting and willing to help another person. Hashem will come to the party and help make it happen. I promise you, really. I'm not like different. Hashem will come and give you the ideas once you make that decision. I encourage everyone to be a shatran. Go ahead.
Okay, amazing. Thank you, Toby. I'm feeling inspired. Now when I go into a room, I'm going to start getting my scanning glasses
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
You know,
scan. Who is she?
Yes, exactly. Or he.
Yeah.
Or he. Okay, so now that we've gotten into a bit of the dating and we can all make shidduchim. Thank you. Do you encourage, you know, I have a friend, she recently went on a date and she came back and she said, not for me. I mean, I have a friend, that friend's me, ages ago, but, you know, what do you think about second dates? Do you think...
You mean encouraging them to go on a second
date? Yeah,
some
of, you know, because, you know, you go on a date and yeah. sometimes you're like, definitely, this is a no, energy's
when
bad.
Do you agree that it's okay to say no after first
yes.
date? Is that the question?
Yes, that's the question.
As a shatran, and I've sent out probably a few thousand people on dates, I highly, 1,000% recommend, even if you're not happy with the date that you're dating, I encourage a second date. Why? Unless, there's one unless it's absolutely disgusting and you can't handle it, like it's like choking you, fine, I'm not gonna make you go out with somebody that's gonna make you feel ridiculous. But if it's okay or neutral or no feelings, or they come back from the first day and say, it was fine, but nothing really there. I don't think it's going to work for me. That's when I encourage a second date. Why? Because that first date, I call it, quote unquote, the awkward first date. It really is awkward for everyone, for the boy, for the girl. They've never seen each other, and especially take someone that's never dated before, and they go on that first date, and they act like their best being. They're not them. So I always say, the person is not who they are on the first date, but give it a second chance. That second date, you go out and you start talking, you've already seen them, so the nerves are not so nerving, and then you have a chance to make a judgment. There's another woman that called me for her daughter, and she said, I never accept dates for my daughter unless they agree. This boy agrees to 3 dates minimum.
Oh, wow.
She's, yeah, it's her thing. I'm not doing it yet, but maybe I'll get to it one day, where that's when you really give it the best chance. Let's give it the best possible chance. Don't dismiss things bang, because you might lose a good chance. I had a boy call me just last week. It's already 6 years I'm working with him since he's 24. He's 30 now. 6 years. He would dismiss. He says, another one. And he'd go, no, not for me. I don't feel it. I said, how can you feel it? What, a picture you have to feel? You could feel a picture? And he's 30 now. 6 years he's saying no to almost. And then he calls me just this week and he says, you know, Mrs. Leader, I'm rethinking to redate some girls that I dismissed too quickly. So here are 2 names, 2 phone numbers. Can you call them and see if they'll be happy to redate from like 2 years ago? And I did. And they both said okay because they liked him. And it didn't work. But he gave it, oh, listen what happened. Then one of them, the girls, calls me. It didn't work. But at least he was sure. Now he wasn't the bad guy, you know, and he was sure. One of the girls called me up and said to me, Mrs. Leader, you know what? He'd be really good for my friend, a very close friend of mine. And I set it up. So they're about to go dating, and I'll let you know.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, Toby, you have already started, but can you continue to give us some tips and guidance on how can you prepare to have the most successful dating experience?
So you want like a couple, a few of my top tips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a few and I'll choose a few. I don't want to bore anyone. And it's not you guys that are dating. It's your children or the people you're going to set up on dates. So the first, if I had a bunch of singles here, this is what I would say to them. And then you could carry this on to the people you're going to make a shidduch with.
Amen.
Make the shidduch a priority. Many times a single will say to me, I really don't have time for dating now because I have the exams coming up and 2 weddings in Israel. They don't make marriage or dating a priority. So once they decide that they're ready for marriage, We have to influence our children or the people we're working with that dating should be a priority. So you put anything else aside, because we're talking about your marriage. We're talking about your life, your future. Your whole future is in that date. Don't tell me it's like going to a bingo game. Like, I don't know, I don't have time. Dating must be a priority above everything. Next one. So that's one. And by the way, you don't even have to take notes, because I have everything that we're doing here today on paper. So you can just take the paper and remember everything. Another tip that worked amazingly, somebody walked into a hat shop once and they said, I want to try on all the hats. Let me see which one fits me best. They tried, no, too big, too small, too tall, too short, too wide, too, no, I don't like the color. And then they find a hat that fits just right, one out of 50, and they go, oh, I found it. Every tip that I'm giving you today, it's like a hat store. You may like it, you may not like it, you may take it, you may leave it, but the one that resonates with you, that's the one, even if you come out with one good thing, it's worth it. So just take what works. These aren't rules, they're not written anywhere. It's just my experience, what I've experienced in the last 40 years making shidduchim. So I'm sharing with you everything in one little package of like 30 minutes. So my second one, and this is a good one, it's called a WhatsApp blast, B-L-A-S-T. What is that? Every month, if you have, let's say your daughter Sarah, you want her to have a shidduch, or your friend, all right? Or you want to set someone up. And it's not happening, or it is happening, it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. This is a great idea. You make a little note on WhatsApp saying, hi, and this is only for friends and family, okay? It's not for the world, and it's not in a WhatsApp group. This is just for your close friends that care about you, your relatives, and your family, like sisters, brothers, siblings, grandparents. This is only for close-knit people that are close to you. You write, hi, family, or hi friends, or hi everyone. I am sharing my daughter Sarah's profile with you. Can you spend 1 minute? Can you stop for 1 minute and think about my daughter if you know anybody good for her? And then you attach the profile. Once a month, you send that out to like 20, 30, 40, whoever your circle is. You send it out. I did it. And every time I did it, when I wanted to marry my kids, from 20, 30 people, it was my whole family and in-laws and mother-in-law's father, like anyone close-knit to me. Every time I did it, I got like 2, 3, 4 suggestions. They thought about it for 1 minute. They stopped and they looked at it. A month later, again, 2, 3, 4 suggestions. So you're reminding them. We just forget. We forget that they're on the... We let them drop off the radar, like, yeah, we're busy with our lives. Oh, yeah, your daughter, sorry, she needs... Oh, I met a guy last night. And then... It really helps to remind
your family. Did it ever work for your family?
Family, huh?
Did it ever work?
Not because of that, but it reminded them. And they knew she was on the radar. That was the important thing. So they thought about it, like, you know, it's another way of nudging. Okay. Like I said earlier, if it doesn't work for your daughter or son, they come back and the date just didn't work, you ask them, can you think of someone that's single that it might be good for? You got to know them over 4 hours or 8 hours, 2 dates, 3 dates. Maybe there's somebody, because when you do a deposit for other people, Hashem will say, you know what, you help them, I'll help you. We need to do things to help other people get engaged, like really go out of our way to help other people get married. This is one of the ways. So if it doesn't work for them, let's not just say, oh, whatever. Hey, do you know anybody that he could be good for? Maybe somebody you know down the block, or okay, so refer for a friend. I tell dates, singles, to be fully rested the day of the date. Many times they tell me, and it happened to my own son. Let me tell you a story. My son David, he doesn't mind. He said it's okay. He was working till 9:30 at night every night. So was the girl that he ended up getting married to, working very late. They started, this is California, they started dating like 9 o'clock at night, 9:30, very late, after a full day's work. So they got the first date, and he comes back and says, she's so quiet, she's not talking. And she says, yeah, he's nice, I'll see him again. Like, they were both exhausted, so they had zero energy to date, 9:30 at night. They got the second date, they were encouraged, just go out again. They got the second date. He said, There's no fire. There's no life. There's not. It's not talking. Like I can't live with someone that's so quiet. So he said no, and he really wanted to dismiss it after the second day. So the Shatchan, which was a friend of ours, said, "You know what? I have an idea. Sunday is coming up. How about you both date on Sunday, 12 o'clock? You know, you prepare in the morning, get ready, you're all rested from Shabbat, and 12 o'clock you pick her up and spend a full day out somewhere. You'll get a real good taste of each other live. You know, you're both alive." So they went out Sunday. They listened. They were both very nice about it. Like that, they got 12 o'clock, and by 8 o'clock Tuesday night, he asked her father permission to marry her. That's how good it went, because they had the space and the energy and the time, and they rested. It's so important to make sure whoever you're sending out on a date, not 9:30 at night, ever. Like I would just like wait for a Sunday to start at least. Okay? And by the way, it's going to come up soon, but I may as well throw it in now. It's really important to include a day date in the dating. So one night is fine, the second time a night is fine, a night date is fine, but the third one should definitely include a day one where you're just both chilled and you could really get to see each other. I'm almost finished. I have another one called no texting. It's only mine. It's not a Torah and it's not written anywhere, but it's my take on it, that young couples, young singles should never text during dating or even engagement. Just no texting. It doesn't exist other than for technical purposes, like to remember what time. Okay, so don't forget 8 o'clock at this address. That's where I'll be to pick me up. Finished. Like technical information passing on, but nothing like how was your day and how was your night and wasn't that date wonderful? No communication and no fluffy talk, because as I've seen in my experience, it becomes misinterpreted and there's miscommunication, and they absolutely, it's broken up shidduchim. People have, and one example is a girl that the dating went really well, and it's late at night, like they came home 2 o'clock at night, and she was like, this is the guy and it's gonna happen. And the next morning she couldn't wait. They didn't listen to me. I told them no texting, but they didn't listen because they could do what they want. The next morning she says to me, it's already 10 o'clock and he didn't text me back. I wrote him, it was such a great night and I'm waiting for him. And a whole day she's waiting for him to text the reply, how great the date was. And she was getting so worked up. By 6 o'clock at night she calls me, Mrs. Leader, I'm breaking up, and if he calls me, I'm not even putting on makeup, I'm just going to tell him we're breaking up. Like, she was so worked up that she didn't get a text back from him, how great the night was. And by 6 o'clock, he wakes up, he slept the whole day, and he sees these missing phone texts, whatever. And she really didn't put on makeup that night, and just said, it's finished, we're over. And she goes out on a date, and it's the loveliest, nicest day. He saw her in her full color, real color. And at the end, she said, yeah, she forgot all about her promise that she's not going to continue with him. It went, and they're engaged, married, and all that. The texting is killing it, so it's something that I recommend. It's just a tip. Now, you know what I say? You know what you could do? You could actually pick up the phone if you want to say something. Like, she could pick up the phone the next morning and say, hi, Chaim, it was a wonderful experience last night. Talk on the phone. Nothing's wrong with that. Pick up the phone. But don't text. Let me continue and then we'll go. I created something called the deal breakers, which is only five, and you could only get five things. This is when I interview someone, a single. We go through a whole process. It's a 2-hour Zoom call and everything. And they can get five deal breakers, five things that without this, I can't even date him. So we go through, it takes 2 hours to work it out. Once you've established, let's say you're not doing this interview and you're not doing it with me, you could do it with your children. It's very easy. Just sit with them and let me give you a sample of what I do, a sample with the deal breakers. And you could do this with anyone. Can I ask you, if you don't mind, to close your eyes for 1 minute only? This is what I do on the Zoom call. Okay, close your eyes for real now. I want to show you what I do on the call. Close your eyes. Now, I want you to imagine, the reason I ask you to close your eyes so you could focus and really concentrate on my question, but don't answer it. When you open your eyes, you'll answer. If Hashem came to you, Sarah, and said, I want to give you the greatest gift that you need in a spouse, the father of your children, the man that you're going to wake up to every single day. He's the person that walks in the door when you're serving the family dinner and you go, I am so lucky because my husband has this one main amazing quality that beats everything. Oh, if I can only have that one thing. Say if you can't have anything else, but you could get just one amazing quality, a value, a mida. What would you choose that one thing to be above everything else? And now open your eyes. Can you share with me what you would choose?
Appreciation.
Okay, excellent. Hold on to that thought.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Supportive.
Connection. I was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Sensitive. Kindness.
Good heart.
Appreciation.
Kindness. Beautiful things.
I thought kindness.
Mchavi, also kindness?
Kindness.
Okay, so what I would normally do is write down number one, and this is during the interview, I'm just sharing with you what I do, and you could do it too. We write down number one. The main one is either appreciation, kindness, or consideration, or sensitivity. We write that word down. And then I say, okay, this is your most important quality you're looking for. Can you interpret that for me? Tell me what that means to you, because everybody has a different interpretation. So they'll give me a few words, and I have a selection of 20 words per value. What do I mean by that? I've interviewed about 300 singles, more, 400 or 500 singles, but when I reached 300 singles, I took all of their values that they gave me that they need and want, those five, and from 400, all of them gave me similar five things, which I'd love to do if we have time to find out what you think they are. I'm not telling you, but at the end, if we have time, we'll go through it. And I write, I made columns, number one, the main, like kindness, kind-hearted, number two, something else, number three, so, and I have five groups with 20 explanations of that title. And I show it to them because we're sharing a screen on Zoom. So I show it to the single and I say, and I'm happy to share with you everything if you want. So you could do with your children or somebody, anybody. And you show them the choice. You say, okay, and from this group, which is the most important, you could get five. So you have five options. And I give them five groups. And by the way, and here is also my website, so you don't have to write anything down. And in my website, it has everything. Everything I'm talking about today is in my website, so you can find everything. So anyway, that's what I do to help the singles realize what they really need, what they really want. And when they come up with the words, she's got to be pretty, or petite, or Barbie doll, or blonde, or whatever, they give me all this, like, beautiful, or he's got to be tall, dark, and hat. I say, you know what? I can't really order that. And that's going to be either there or not there for you, because everybody sees it through a different lens. And you might think this is gorgeous, and I go, I don't know what she sees in him. And everybody gets married at the end, so everybody sees through a different lens. We can't order that. So I cut right there. Okay. I covered a lot here. And yeah. One more thing, I'll go through one more thing, is that I ask everyone, this is very important for you if you're marrying off any of your children, is to be in touch with the matchmaker once every 2 weeks. And matchmakers don't mind. Shatran doesn't mind if they hear from you, because I, as a Shatran, the ones that I call nudging, they're not really nudging. I say, you know what, just send me a wave. You know the wave emoji? Every 2 weeks, when I get a wave emoji on my phone by, let's say, Sarah Schwartz, and it comes up a wave emoji, I write back to immediately, I go, great, thank you for reminding me, because this is the only way I work. I'll get back to you soon. And I go through my whole list of 400 people, and I look, who do I have for Sarah? I'll come back to her with either an idea, or sorry, but can you contact me again in 2 weeks? There are people that are religiously in touch with me every 2 weeks with the wave. And I think about them, they're on the top of my thoughts. And the ones that don't contact me, like, why is the Shatran not coming? I paid the Shatran and they're not even calling me. We can't. It's impossible to be in touch with 400, 500 people. But you could be in touch with us. All you have to do is send a wave, and I'm happy to help. So whether it's with me or anyone that you're working for or with, just write a little reminder. Hi, can you remember my son, Mendel, Shmuley, whatever? Okay? And I'll skip the rest because it's too much.
No, but these are incredible tips, Toby.
Thank you.
And I keep thinking back to like my dating experience and like, you know, I can relate in many ways. So we know, you know, important things to do when you're dating. But what about red flags? What do you consider red flags to be?
What to look out for?
Yeah, what should you look out for?
What should you be aware of? What's called a red flag?
Yeah.
Some examples. Do you have any examples what you think red flags are? And then I'll tell you mine. Do you want to raise your hand, anybody?
I think if you're being careful. Abusing, I think that's every mother. Whoa,
if what?
You know? Abusing. Like,
but what we're asking, no, what we're asking is, how do you know what red flags are to be aware of? What are red flags?
Exactly.
What are, give careful. Examples of red flags.
Huh? Be careful. Controlling.
I know. Oh, who said controlling? Mm. Okay, if you notice that there's controlling going on, that's a red flag. It doesn't mean that it's bad, and it doesn't mean quit. It means it's a question mark. Make a note. And we're going to have to investigate that and write it down and do a lot of research. A lot, not a little, a lot. And I'll go into that. So, controlling. Tell
mental
me another
health
red
in the
flag.
Families.
Huh?
Mental health in the family?
Yeah, it could be a red flag. It doesn't mean it's not good and it doesn't mean it's bad. It means we're going to check that out and see how it affects this person. Maybe he's totally clean and didn't affect. Maybe for the opposite, he's the best person in the world because of it. So it's a red flag. Yeah, mental health is a red flag. Yeah.
Seems
another
to get
one?
Annoyed over little things.
Sorry?
Seems to get annoyed over little things.
Yeah. So he's picking on little things all the time.
Losing a temper.
Temper.
Yeah.
Red flag. Definitely. Do you want to live with somebody that
loses?
Okay. And picking on every little thing. There's some negativity going on. It's a question mark. You want to check it out. Anything else?
I would say negative talk.
You're here for anything?
No, I'm just checking everything's going okay.
Is there any air conditioning, do you know?
I wouldn't have a close.
It's right there.
It is there.
Right there.
I'm feeling a bit warm.
Yeah.
It says 18.
Okay.
So it's on.
Okay, thank you.
I would think like negative talking about someone or some bringing up bad relationship with a family, that would be a red flag. Some negative experience.
Yeah, very good. These
someone
are red flags to look at
themselves all the time.
Narcissistic.
Cheapness.
Oh, how they handle. Oh,
well,
it says in the Gemara.
I don't know what it
says. Koso vikoso. Did you hear that? Sorry for interrupting.
No.
In the Gemara it says, check out a person. Kise koso vikoso. The first is temper. Like, check out if he has a temper. And, like, just be aware. Like, these are things you need to check out. How he behaves when he's drunk. That's you're supposed to check that out. That's what it says. And the third one is how he handles money. Generosity or stingy.
Yeah, yeah. Is the guy going to, like... Is he, like... I would expect that a guy should be a bit chivalrous, you know, when you're dating. And not just say, oh, do you want water?
Or that costs too much. Let's go to the other place.
You know, they should be like, what can I get you? Oh, you want a Diet Coke? You know, if they're offering you water, I'd be like, red flag.
Any other red flags? Any other red flags? Okay, I'll tell you mine
relationships
now.
Relationships with the people in the
excellent.
In their lives.
Do they have healthy relationships? What are their relationships
working,
like?
Like,
are they telling you they don't get along with the boss and the boy next door and the father, the
how
fighting
with his mother?
Yeah, what his relationship with his mother is, that's a big one. That's for him.
And maybe if he doesn't have a job, like laziness. I know, for me, that's a big red flag.
And how long has that been?
Is it
all that he's changing jobs all the time? So I'll tell you a few red flags that I have. One is eye contact. I was interviewing someone and they just couldn't look at me in the eyes. And I said, uh-oh, we got trouble here. It's a red flag. If he cannot look at her in the eyes, there's something going on. He's hiding something.
He's not honest.
Something's happening. I'm not sure about honest, but something happened, some trauma. Because he better and she better have eye contact or just, I wouldn't continue dating if they can't. So eye contact is one. Healthy relationships is another. A secretive past is another. Mm. They don't want to talk about their past. They insist on skipping over it all the time. You say, so tell me, when you were a child and they keep skipping it over, like they'll never share it, a secret, it's a red flag. It doesn't mean it's not
trauma,
good.
Or
we don't know. Yeah. But if they don't want to share, it's a question mark. And are they always coming late? Like, because that's going to be who they are later in life. Just be aware if they're on time.
Unless you can handle.
He could be amazing, and that's the only chassan. Let that be the chassan. Okay.
Amazing. So
those are few are important.
Important. And I realize, you know, everyone's red flags is different depending on their situation. There's no one size fits all.
Exactly.
No cookie cutter advice with the red flags.
And you're talking, sorry.
No.
You were talking about for boy, a red flag. Yeah. What for girl?
Same. They're all the same.
No, but
I was just using
the boy. The boy can pick up, like, if she's high maintenance girl that thinks only of
so that's all in the research, and I'll talk about that. It comes up how to make proper research.
Sometimes I know, but you have to be ready for that. You can afford it.
So that's on. By the way, in the interview, one of the questions I ask is, do you want low maintenance or high maintenance? And they have to tick the box. And when they say high maintenance, I say to them, it's going to cost you a lot of money. You're going to have a girl that's dressed up for a wedding every day.
Did you?
Okay, continue.
So we've already touched on this, so we'll just quickly, since it's on our list, can you tell us some best tips to be fully prepared for dating? We've already touched on it, but I know that you have some great quotes that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I got two quotes that are my best. One is, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. If you're not prepared, there's another one that... what's that one about planning?
Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Thank you. We've said it a thousand times in our house. Failing to plan is planning to fail. If you don't have a plan, you're bound to fail. So we need to be organized and prepared for dating. We don't just say, okay, whatever. Mm. How many people did you ever hear in your life say, I'll meet him whenever, maybe somebody's Shabbos table. Like, I'll know. I need to meet them naturally, organically. I'm not making my lists. I'm not speaking to a matchmaker. It'll happen by itself. It'll just happen. It'll be. And that's not planning. Well, maybe it is if they did some homework before. And the homework before is planning. And planning properly. And it's only my take. That's why I'm sitting here. I'm telling you my opinion. Is to figure out what your deal breakers are and not a list of 100 things. When I go into seminaries, let me tell you what I do. I'll go into seminary and I'll say to all the girls and 30, 40 girls in the class, and I'll say, I want you to take out a pen and paper and write down 30 qualities that you're looking for, the 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 30 amazing qualities that you want in your spouse in the future. Oh, 30, wow, man. The writing, everything. But I stop them, I say, stop. Now I want you to take off 10. I want you to be left with 20. No, Mrs. Leader, you can't do that. That's not. They erase 10. Okay, fine, I have that, so I could do away with that. They come down to 20, and I say, I need you to take off another 5. What? No, I can't. No, I'd rather not get married. Fine. Okay, they come down. They're down to 15. They're down to 10. I have them screaming, the principal coming in, what's going on? What are you doing to them? I say, listen, from this 10, these are your remaining 10, right? And this is an example I'm telling you, you could do with your single or anybody you know that needs to get married. You sit and do this exercise with them. Let them give you their wish list, their fantasy list, and then start cutting. Mm. And then when they're up to 10, I say, okay, this is for real. You could have 5. You need to dismiss 5, but think of the 5 that you're going to leave there. They're called deal breakers. They're going to break the deal. If he doesn't have that, or that, or that, or that, or that, you're not even dating him. And at the end, they all have their 5, and they do. Until today, I hear feedback from girls that say, that saved me, that list of 5. I never knew that. And my husband's exactly all those 5 and more, blah, blah. It really gives them clarity. At the end of my interview, when I finish interviewing, I always say, what did you get from it? What did you accomplish? Are you glad you did the interview? And the one thing that over 400 singles have said to me, they said, I've gained the clarity now. I know what my 5 are. Because everything else I'm prepared to negotiate, fine. Okay, so he's not musical, and he's not this, and he's not so organized. I'll be organized. I'll fix it. It's fixable. I always ask them, is it learnable? Is it fixable? Let's dismiss it. But those 5 that they have are absolutes. And you know what? Everyone's happy. It really, really gives the clarity and the confidence. Now they know what they... And one last thing I tell them, take this list of 5. When you're married, hang it in your wardrobe.
Well, that's a good idea.
Listen,
say,
listen,
just for the shit,
listen.
Years later,
and when
annoyed, you look
when there's a little fight or an argument or disagreement with your husband throughout life, you go into the wardrobe and you read the five again and you go, you know what? I'll let him off because he's got the five most important things that really matter. Those, it's the fights are usually nothing to do with what's so important. And it really helps bring perspective and shalom bias because you remember what, and everyone says, wow. I even did an interview with the head of SBS because I did the matchmaker's show. So the head, her name's Millie, she said to me, I need this interview badly. Not Jewish. I said, I'll do it for you. And I did it with her. Too. If you know of a nice, not Jewish guy around 50 years old, she's divorced. I'm starting to take not Jewish. The other day, a girl called Rachel, listen, I'm not kidding, a girl called Rachel, because you can help anyone. She calls me up and she says, I'd like to do this. I heard about that. I saw it on Facebook, whatever. And I said, sure. And then I said, have a good Shabbos. And she said, you too. And we made it, booked the time for Sunday. And I'm interviewing her, and I get up to the question, what shul, and she's from Melbourne, what shul are you affiliated? And she goes, none. And I go, okay. And one of the questions, what's your mother's Hebrew? And she goes, oh, I'm not Jewish. And I go, whew, myself, like, I didn't know. I was shocked, surprised.
Now you're going to have to stop asking
people. Well, I know. Through the questions, you find out. Because I write down, I said, what's your mother's Hebrew name? Bas, whatever. I want to give it into the Rebbe to pray. And they have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I find out eventually that if they're Jewish. I don't have to ask if they're Jewish. But you know what? I decided if they're coming to me, this is my theory. If they come to me, I take them. Jewish, not Jewish, from, I have about 50 non-from people. If you know anybody not from that wants a matchmaker to set them up, at least 50 from Melbourne and Sydney, around Australia, a lot. And New York, America. I have an 80-year-old lady from Savannah, Georgia that called me. She believes she can get married. She's so cute, you have no idea. If you want to see a video that she sent me of her, she puts on shows. She's 80 years old. And she said, I know I could find my Bashir, don't worry. And she had an interview. I know. But
it's
and
never
she's,
too late.
Never too late. You heard of the 92-year-old that got married, the 100, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just say something about the five?
So,
the five?
Sorry?
So I had the five many years ago, Baruch Hashem. And I was going out with someone and it helped me because he didn't have and I stopped it.
That's how you figured
but
out.
But my husband doesn't have that thing either, but it didn't matter. Because I knew he was my husband. Like, it was just so clear.
Yeah.
And I thought he had. Later I found out he didn't. It was stressful, but we worked through it.
It doesn't matter.
But
the age needs ways to get you together.
So I'm saying there's five, it doesn't mean, it gives you clarity, but it doesn't mean it's 100% infallible.
I know. I have people calling me up. I'm dating this guy, and he's got four out of the five. I said, are you okay to give up the fifth one? Is it okay with... And at the end, they are okay. Like, it's not holy. I said earlier, it's not Tyra. It's just an exercise to help. It helps give us clarity. In all
we just have a quick, Michelle. Yeah,
question, going back to like your original tips. So you wrote to prioritize dating.
Yeah.
So I understand that like if you're dating for a short time, but how does somebody who's an older single who's been dating for 10, 15 years, how can they prioritize dating and stay sane, living their life as a single person happily, and prioritize at the same time? Like, how do they make that
It depends
balance?
If they want to get married. If they want to get married, they'll make that number one, and everything else is for that purpose. It's a mindset. They have to really feel that everything is for that.
Right.
And if they say that is everything, and by the way, I also have to get married, they're going to keep like this. It's not going to work. Or it may work, it may not work. But the minute they prioritize marriage, getting married, finding the bashert, and that's everything, and I'm going to somebody's wedding because someone might see me and maybe they'll be interested to me for sure. That's prioritizing, having it on the top of your list up here, and everything is because of that.
But how long can one do that and stay
forever until they get their guy?
Yeah, it's a different story.
But I think that it's important also to still be able to live your life. And if your friends are going away,
it's just the mindset.
If they say, we're going away this summer for 2 months, we're going to backpack Europe and whatever, don't be like, no, I'm not going because I, you know, maybe a guy will come up and you still have to live your life. I think it's, I don't know, maybe the Shadchan will disagree. I think it's important to still live your life and go for that holiday with your friends and have not all
or
the time.
You have to be smart.
You have to be grounded, but you know, oh, you live in New York. You don't live in New York because all your friends are there. I'm making it up. All your friends are there, and because you have a fancy job, you're there to date. Meaning, ultimately, if one night, you know, your friends are like, oh, we're going out, you know, but you know there's a wedding and you might like, so in your own way,
it's
you figure out
mindset
the mindset.
Prioritizing dating, marriage is number one, everything else is number two, everything else.
Yeah.
Another saying that I love, so the one I gave you before is if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything.
We've got lots of questions,
I know. I'll just give you one more saying. It's the best one that I use. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you got.
Mm.
Okay, it's a real good one. I probably say it every single time I'm interviewing someone because they say, but, and I say, listen, do you want to change up something? Let's do something different. That's why we're doing the interview. That's why we're getting, because if you keep doing what you did, you'll keep getting what you got. Let's do something different. Get up and move to another, visit, go to Israel, go, do something, change something. If you keep doing the same thing, you can't expect new answers. Okay, that's another phase.
Should we do the measuring system?
Skip that.
I'm going to skip that. Okay. I think that we should discuss now. This would be interesting. Is there really a shidduch crisis?
Excellent. You chose right because we didn't have to go there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very simple answer. There's a shidduch crisis. Again, my personal opinion. Don't quote me to the world and don't let it go viral what I said. But my personal take on is there a shidduch crisis? The profile and the photo on the profile is killing it. Is killing it. And creating what we all want to call a shidduch crisis, meaning there's a pileup of girls and boys not getting married. A pileup. And I think it's coming from there. I won't say completely, 100%, but definitely it has a role. It's killing it. Why? I'm shotgun, right? And I get on Zoom with people a lot because I'm dealing 90% with people in America. And I show them a profile, and the guy, supposed to be very Hasidish, good, from daven's three times a day with the minyan, da-da-da-da-da, and he looks at the profile, because he's doing his own shidduch. He looks and he goes, nah, not what I had in mind, no, nerdy. Next, please, like a furniture catalog. Next, please. And I go, excuse me, I interviewed her, and I interviewed you, and I really think you're a good match. It's just a picture. It's 1% of who she is. 99%, it's not her. It's not even who she really is. You need to give it a shot. And he says, I don't know, show me what else. And that's why there's a shidduch crisis, if you want to call it that, because the picture is not representing people for real. So I created something called a little video clip, which I encourage. Only 50% of the people have done it. I have like 100 or 200 of them. A little video clip, and I was asked, and I told them, and they have my word, I never send it to anybody, but I'll show it on a Zoom or FaceTime with my phone and I'll show it to them. I'll say, oh, by the way, I have a little video clip of them talking and you'll be able to see more of who they are than the picture. When there's a good idea coming. So when this guy says, yeah, I'm kind of interested. I said, listen, can I show you a video clip of the girl? With her permission, of course, I'll hold it up and show him and he'll see her talking. And 13 couples are married today because of the video clip.
Wow.
13 couples are married because one of them said, nah, she's too nerdy or old-fashioned, not my type. Nah. They have in mind who knows what. And I say, wait a minute. Let me show you a little video clip of her when they do that. And she's talking. She says, hi, my name is Chani. You see a bit of dimples. You see some color. You see some presence. You see some emotion, some body language. She says, I'm a kindergarten teacher. I love children. And what I'm looking for mostly, somebody sensitive and kind. And 2 minutes. And he looks at that and he goes, you're right. Okay, fine, I'll date her. So I think it works. I've seen it work. And a lot of people don't like it. And a lot of guys say, I'm not doing a video. And I said, fine, it's up to you. It will only help you. It'll
such
only
a
help.
Great idea.
It works. It's been working.
It's like speed dating.
What?
It's almost like a speed date. Like you get
well,
to see who
I'm,
it is.
But I personally interview. You see, I only work with people that I interview. I'm very limiting. Like I have 400 or 500 people, and I make shidduchim within that 400 or 500. I don't go and outsource only if I have to. Like if somebody's calling me every 2 weeks, I really don't have anybody for them. It's not coming up. Hashem's not sending them. I'll say, leave it with me, I'm gonna outsource. Meaning, I'll go in all my WhatsApp groups that I don't know who they are, but I have profiles, and I'll do a little bit of homework. I'll go out of my way and look for other people that I didn't interview, but I'll keep checking. I'll make phone calls, I'll help them. I'll send them 5 different options. You look into these 5, I'll help them. But it's mostly within that. They know when they're going for them. They know that it's going to be within the people. I had a lady from Morristown call me every 2 weeks religiously for like a year or 2 years. And this is how it sounded. I have to repeat it the way she said it. Hello, Mrs. Leader, an Israeli lady. Mrs. Leader, so do you have anybody for my daughter? But he must be tall, tall, very tall. I think she even pressed the button and let that play again every 2 weeks. The same exact message. Hello, Mrs. Leader, do you have anybody for my daughter? Very tall. And it really hocked me in my head. And one day I sat down and I said, okay, this is it. I must get the tall guy for her. And never mind everything else, you know. I looked and looked from 5'11 up. Who's 5'11 up there? I had like 10 options and I found one. And I come, and they're happily married. I found him. Wow. I found him.
He's very tall.
He's very tall. He's
6'2". Okay.
Yes.
So with name giving, as in you involved with Shachan, it's very easy for them just to go, like, sort of almost Google a person. And then you see on the media, whatever it is, from teams,
some are and some aren't. Not everybody's on Google.
I know that,
places.
But it's sort of a wrong idea as well. Because
yes.
First of all, hopefully they mature from teenagers. Mm. And whatever the pictures were taken, especially Instagram or whatever,
yes.
Or Facebook, olden days, it's...
I Google every single person every person that came to me from my 13 kids that got married, every single one I Google their name to make sure that they're not an ex-convict.
So you look yourself
I Google their name.
But how can you help it? It's already there. How can you change it? It's already
before I was checking them out.
I know.
When I was checking them out.
So you see, we do our whole
I like stuff. Google. It's a good thing. I tell everybody Google the name. Make sure.
That means that.
Do you know somebody Googled the name that I gave them? They said, "Did you know she was on COL and she was engaged 2 years ago?" Da, da, da. I go, "I don't know. They didn't tell me that." They found out from Google that the girl was once engaged. The girl never told me. Not a terrible thing.
You know that connects to our question about. When researching a single, you only get amazing reports.
Okay,
what's the point?
That's a very
and also,
good question.
You know, and it connects also, you know, to Google. Like, what's the point of researching?
Okay.
How do we even know?
People say to me, "Nah, I don't research because you're going to get the best friends and the best advocates to speak on their behalf. There's no point. Like, I'll have to figure out another way to find out." And I say it's wrong. Let me tell you why I believe in it, and let me tell you why and what. Because you got to do the research in a certain way, not, "Hi, Mrs. Shapiro, so Moshe Cohen is on, you know, you're on his profile. Can you tell me, is he kind?" And she says, "Of course he's kind. Who's going to say he's not kind?" "And Mrs. Shapiro, is he a good learner?" "Yeah, he's a very good learner. I remember him 4 years ago. He's a shaliach for us." And that's not going to work, okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Okay, there's a way to do research. In my website, I have something called 31 questions to ask. 31 questions, you'll find it there, and it's all in here, by the way. 31 questions to ask when researching a single. Now, you're not going to ask 31 questions, but you'll take your 5 deal breakers. I say, print the 31 questions. I made them up. They're all open-ended questions. That's the chachma. You don't ask yes-no questions. You ask open-ended questions like, "Hi, Mrs. Shapiro. This boy, Moshe Cohen, worked for you 2 years ago. Tell me, can you give me a few examples where he might have gone out of his way for other people or done chesed or something to make me understand if he's got kindness or he's kind of..." And she has to think now. The big clue, I hope you remember this forever, is to look out for the first words that come out of the mouth. That's the first thing you need to be aware of. Whatever comes out first is going to be the real answer. So if she goes, "Moshe Cohen, yeah, I think he was a nice guy." And that sentence is, okay, question mark. But if the first response she gives is, "Moshe Cohen, oh my gosh, he has such an ability to make a difference to people, you have no idea. When my mother, everybody left and my mother needed somebody to walk around with, Moshe was the one to walk her home." Like, he's that kind, and she can't stop talking.
Yeah.
So it's that first response, And if five different people, I say call five different people, if five people give that answer, like, yeah, I think I remember him. I can't really remember examples of him doing something. Those are all, five people say that, I have a good, I go with a good question mark. Does he really qualify? I'm not sure. Now, what you're going to do is tell your single to print those 31 questions, highlight only five. They're five deal breakers. You'll have five questions to do with their deal breaker. It's there. And those are the five questions you ask. You ask the deal breaker questions, not like what you want to know as a mother. You're not marrying him. You want his, your child's five deal breakers, and ask those questions. And that's one of the ways.
I love it.
And the last one is every person you call, say, do you know anyone else? I call that non-references. Do you know anybody else that knows him well from your community that he was close to? And you want to call them because they weren't on the profile. Next.
So we only have one more minute left.
Yep,
so go. I don't know if you want me to ask a question or if there's anything else that we haven't mentioned. And we really prepared a lot.
Okay.
But one last thing in this last minute that you want to share with everyone?
Okay.
That you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay, good question. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to share with you what I have in my office upstairs on Old South Edward. It's called a whiteboard, and it has everybody that I interview gets a card. I put them on a card according to a colored zone. So I'm just showing you a sample. I took pictures of, it's a big whiteboard, huge.
Very big.
Like 10 foot by 4 foot. And I just snapped all the pictures from them to show you. One of the ways you might ask me, how do you keep track of 400 people? Like, that's a lot of people to remember. So number one, I put them on the board. Okay, that's just, I don't have the red. There's a red, green, and blue. What are the differences? So red is very, very intense, from Hasidish, like the works, you know, like Rebbe's Mashiach, like Shlichus, the whole thing, okay? Extreme, intense. Anyone that's that type, anyone that that's the type goes, gets a red card, and I have all the guys, I have about 50 guys here, and about 80 girls, way more girls than guys, by the way. So they're all there, and I try to match this one with that one, and it works.
Smart.
Okay? Then there's the green zone, that's the green, and they are medium. They're not that extreme, but they're not modern. Okay? They're in the middle. And then there's blue. Blue's modern, like the guys, maybe clean-shaven. They go to the movies and they don't mind if there's a TV in the house, that kind of stuff, okay? That's modern, that's blue. So when I finish interviewing, I always say, this big thing is right behind me, and I always turn and I go, and where do you think you're gonna go, which color? And they always point, yeah, I'm probably the blue zone. And I put them up on the blue zone. Now what happens, remember I told you every 2 weeks to remind the shatran? Every 2 weeks they have to contact me, this is the end. And when they do, I turn around, I go to the, it's called my express shidduch board. I go there and to the blue zone and I go, okay. And it's according to age. And it says the age and where they're from. So if it's Australia, I'll go right to the group. I go, maybe him for, who did I interview in the last 2 weeks that could be shayach for this person? So that's one of the ways that I'm in control of the 400 singles to make sure I'm on top of it. And I have that. That's one. I have another thing I'll show you on my phone. Oh, because it's there. Is I put a little emoji for all the guys I ever interviewed gets a little hat before their name, right? So Moshe Gona, there's a little hat before the M. Chaim Tzvi, there's a little hat before the Chaim, and so on. So when I go into the search button and what's up, I put a hat, and all the boys come up because they all have the hat before their name. So that's a quick, easy way. Do you get me? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And for the girls, I have a little ring, an engagement ring, right before their name. And then I just put a ring into the search button, 100 girls come up, or whatever. So there are little methods, so when I'm on the road and I don't have the board on me, I say, oh, who do I have? There's other ones too, but I'll close over here.
You know, Toby, I just want to say that you are full of wisdom and inspiration. Yeah. Really, you really are. And it's holy work,
holy
work
to work with Hashem.
And you know, I've realized, like, you have experience in this field, you know, and it's like you want to hear from people who really know the field. So,
but Toby, the message I want to give you all is each one of you are a shatran.
Yeah, True.
And you could take my tips and start using it, because you could do it and encourage someone else to do it. Say to your friend or family or sister or someone, hey, we could do this. And if you want more, I'll give you more.
What
my website is full of everything.
People in your chart?
Sorry?
Not form people. What color? Like,
so they're all in there. They're all in there.
Like not form at all. Like people you have from Perth, you know, from the...
Yeah.
No.
She means only,
by the way, only, by the way, only people that I interview go on the chart.
Ah, that you interview. Okay.
Everyone
so
else is on another WhatsApp group called Random and Extras. Random and Extras. There are a lot of people that approach me and they say, oh, no, but I don't want to pay for an interview. I'll just give you the profile. I say, fine, if you don't need the whole exercise of the, because it's a 2-hour intensive.
Yeah.
It's work. It's a lot of work, this 2 hours. You don't want your son or daughter to have, fine. Just send me the profile. I collect profiles and I put into the Random and Extras. And when I need more people, because it's not here, I'll go right into that group and I'll talk, you know, look for some ideas. So they'll be in there.
I love it. And I love how you have to be organized.
Must.
Wow. You have to be. Otherwise, it's like, you know, it's
can
about like
can we open
like
the floor to questions? And then we could go for
lunch. You're amazing.
Any questions?
Thank you so much.
Can we get the paper?
No questions?
Yeah, I want to get
papers here.
My question is, what happens when you disagree with your child?
Can we keep us
as in,
they are the ones marrying the person.
I know, but I don't want them to marry a serial killer
because
it's a good looking and he's smart.
Oh, well, that's...
Get what I mean?
That's something you'd have to take a third party to explain it to him.
Yes, Shelly has his head to hear, but I will.
Yeah.
So, how much do you charge for the interview?
Once you're ready to do an interview, I'll let you know.
Oh.
I don't like to publicize it.
Oh, okay.